On Air Music presents Long Player.
This week I'm talking to Peter Riddell for Long Player. Peter is the driving force behind Sulfate, a project under which he's released an 8-track record yesterday. If you're not familiar with Peter, he's 1/3 of Auckland guitarless guitar band Wax Chattels, but he decided to strike out on his own and write, record and mix this new album. We first heard a couple of months ago Speaking for Others. That was followed up by the single Bush. Now the whole thing is out on stream platforms like Bandcamp, Spotify, etc. for you to have a little listen to. You can also order it on cassette and vinyl, courtesy of Prison Tapes. Peter came into the studio to have a little chat with me and we go through the whole record and learn all about it. Sulfate, your debut album, is excellent.
Oh, thank you.
How are you feeling now that it's done and it's a fully realised body of work?
Good. A couple months ago when it was done.
There's always that awkward period between having something done and releasing it, I think, for a lot of artists.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, I think if you're doing, like, worldwide distribution for a record, when you get the finished thing, it takes 4 months between when you compile all your finished artwork and like that to actually getting it in the shops and having an actual release day, which is such a long time.
Yeah.
When you've done it all and you've already spent 6 months or a year or whatever on these songs and you finally get it out, it's like, okay, awesome, job done, 4 months.
And I think for a lot of people, the songs kind of have, they've moved on from them.
Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah. Absolutely.
In terms of whatever they meant to them at the time, yeah, or whatever.
I mean, I'm not quite at that point yet, but I imagine it will happen at some point.
These songs were mostly written while you were on tour with Wax Chattels, your band.
Lots of the like ideas and content came from that, but the songs themselves in terms of the music side of things were basically finished in January this year and then recorded in between like February and March.
And for you, this was a DIY recording project, so you did the recording yourself and the mixing yourself. I imagine that was a bit of a learning curve.
Absolutely. It's the first time I've done that. Like, I've made demos and stuff and, you know, released a couple of little things, but this is the first time I've made a full record by myself, basically, with the exception of mastering, which was James Goldsmith down in Wellington.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Talented.
Lovely man.
What would you say would be the main takeaway that you learnt from doing that whole process from start to finish, aside from mastering?
That it's doable.
Yeah.
You know? It was liberating to know that you can do that relatively easily. And, of course, I had to, like, borrow a bunch of gear and spend a lot of hours learning how to do it, but now I feel like I've passed the, you know, the difficult part, and I can do it again, and I will do it again.
You know? I like that.
Yeah, it was exciting.
I want to go through the tracks of the album, starting with the first track, which is Speaking for Others, which is the first single you also released when you kind of announced the Sulfate project to the world. Why did you choose this song?
I felt like it was really indicative of the project, like slow, cathartic, big expanses of sound. And the album kind of follows that trend in various ways. And it's like, for all it's this like big sound coming out, it's super minimal in terms of the arrangement, in terms of what's actually happening. It's just produced in a certain way that makes it big. And so every, I think on there there's a drum kit, there's the Fender Rhodes, there's a guitar track, and then there's two vocals, and one of those vocals is just in the chorus. So it's like there's not much going on.
Who's playing the guitar? Is that you?
That's me.
Oh, cool.
And it's really just for texture, so it's lots of, like, there's guitar in this and there's guitar in Cyclone as well, but mm-hmm. it's all basically played behind the bridge of a Jazzmaster, so mm. you get that kind of Dead Sea high-frequency tinkliness, and all through a little 5-watt amp as well.
Oh,
so
cool.
It's like, it's just pushed real hard and a texture more than a note, say, which is very much taken up by the keyboard.
In terms of the phrase speaking for others, what did that? How did that come to you, or what does that mean to you?
Well, the main kind of theme of the song is basically the difficulty in communication and trying to sort of battle your way through what's sometimes a very difficult process of transferring meaning. And
which is what we're trying to do right now.
Which is what we're trying to do right now. Exactly.
We're getting meta.
And so yeah. you're trying to frame what you're saying in a way that you can, you know, it will be understood by the other person or other parties. Mm. And so you are speaking for them or to them, you know. Mm-hmm.
When I listen to this record, I hate drawing comparisons because I always feel like the person might take offense or be like, whoa, you missed it completely. But when I listen to this record, what I get out of it is like this kind of melding of like Earth, which I don't know if you know Earth.
Love Earth.
Yeah, right. Earth meets like Shane Carter with more synths through like a post-punk dream shoegaze kind of filter.
Right.
Yeah. So I don't know.
Those are all good touchstones.
Yeah, I think
not
so
offended.
Too. Was there a particular vibe or tone or, you know, sound that you were hoping to use to pull everything together?
Well, when we were on tour, I sort of, with Wax Chattels, we spent a lot of time listening to heavy bands and stuff in the actual shows. And so on my headphones in the van and stuff, I was listening to bands that were super quiet, like Low and
sure.
The Dirty Three was a big touchstone.
Mm-hmm.
And so I kind of got invigorated by making something quiet and kind of wanted to make something more restrained rather than this sort of super fast, chaotic thing that's Wax Chattels.
Mm.
And so those two bands and that kind of style of music was something which I wanted to try and capture with this record and have it really cohesive as well, you know, make a record which flows naturally and is a very, very much of a time and a place and with a particular energy to it the whole way through.
Mm. The next track is Top Form, and what I found intriguing about the song was there's a sound that you've managed to get that is almost like strings, like violin. I don't
care. It's a cello.
It's a cello.
There is
an actual legit cello happening. Yeah. I've been caught out by this before where it's somebody synthesized a sound so well that it, you know, it's tricked
me. Every synthesizer has a cello setting on it, you know? Now we. A friend, Lawrence Dyack, mm-hmm. played cello on the record. He played on this and a couple other tracks as well. And he also plays in Fables, if you know Fables,
mm-hmm.
and a couple other groups as well. Can't remember off the top of my head. But
so what made you get Lawrence in to bring cello to? Because it's not just this song, there's a couple of songs as well. Yeah,
cello's awesome. And it's got that really nice kind of low range, which sits very nicely in slow music, I think.
Mm.
And actually heard it on an Earth record, which is what made me think of it. I was like, fuck yeah, this sounds great. I gotta get this. This quiet gathering.
invited you. They are to blame. You're the exception. Exempt from social norms.
Your use of the cello in the mix is also, because I listen in headphones, I found that I felt it was far away from me as a listener, and I think it creates a really haunting kind of sensation. Was that intentional?
Absolutely. Yeah. Same with the drums on the record. I mix them so that they are, you can feel the room and the space around them.
Mm.
Trying to get that kind of live, roomy sound for lots of this.
Who's playing the drums?
David Harris, who we just did the tour together. He's sort of very much integral to the sound.
When we're talking about restraint on these songs, I feel that that is something with the drumming that can be quite hard to achieve as well. Mm. Was that a discussion that happened between the two of you?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But he's an amazing musician with great ears, and he sort of, he'll respond very naturally to what he hears. And so it wasn't a very lengthy discussion. It was just, this has got to be slow and with lots of space. And he's like, yeah, cool, great. And he's straight away.
The next track is Fetus. The imagery used in this song lyrically is really great, and the line I particularly like, and it's just a small portion of the song, but about you know, laying your head down in the backseat of the Prius. Where do you pull these little lines from? Where do you get these snatches of lyrics?
Lots of notes on my phone when I'm doing other stuff. I kind of feel like I've always got something nearby to write stuff down on, basically. But it's not like the, what's the Nick Cave legend where he just goes and sits and isolates himself for 8 hours a day and that's when he writes, you know, it's not only that, none of us have that luxury, you know.
Letter by letter on a typewriter.
Exactly, none of that.
Tell me a little bit about Fetus and sort of the theme of the track.
The classic Aucklander in me, who fantasizes about getting out of the big city and moving to the countryside, and it's somewhere that I've seen very briefly but lots of times on our various tours around New Zealand. You know, the classic drive from Auckland to Wellington is something that I've done a million times now, and always driving through the middle of the North Island, you see these places where you kind of can't imagine living in when you're so fixed in the city, and you fantasize about it, you know?
Speaking about going bush, the next song is called Bush, which is a duet. Could I call it a duet?
Absolutely,
is that all right?
Yeah, yeah.
With you and Harriet Ellis, who is in Bozo, Nanoise, Vincent HL. I'm sure there's others.
Dick Move.
All right, Dick Move. Yeah. I had never really heard Harriet sing her voice come out until I heard the song. I know we can hear her in little whispers almost through the record. Mm. It's not as prominent in this song. She sings fully formed and it's gorgeous. I love
it's
it
amazing.
So much.
She's got a beautiful voice.
Did you write it as a duet?
Not originally, but as soon as I sort of made it a call and response sort of thing, it worked immediately way better. And I just wanted to get Harriet's voice on the record as much as possible, and wanted to break up the monotony of my voice as well. So like thinking about the record as a whole thing, and it was a great chance to get her to sing front and center, because she doesn't often do that. And all the bands she plays in, it's often in a more supportive role, with the exception of Nanoise.
Mm.
And so it was great.
great song. I love it. I fell in love immediately.
Oh, great.
Your singing is also, I mean, it's not monotonous, or I think that's what you just said. I like how you're leaning into the Kiwi accent. I don't know if, you know, if that's a thought
I
about thing.
I hate put on accents. Yeah. It's, yeah. Not trying to lean in too much, but just try and make it a very, like, personal reflection, you know? If you're singing about things that mean something to you, sing it in your voice, you know?
Following up from Bush, we have Cyclone Part 1 and Cyclone Part 2. So, for me, this is where you might flip the record or flip the tape.
Exactly.
Yeah, because this is coming out on cassette, isn't it?
Cassette and LP.
Ooh, yeah. Fancy. So, cassette with prison tapes?
Yeah, that's right.
And who's putting out the LP for you?
Prison tapes as well.
Oh, excellent. Yeah, yeah. I did not realise they did vinyl.
They've done two before. They did a 7-inch, a split 7-inch with Soda Boys and Yukon Era, and also the Raiden Freeman album, Deep Farm.
You did the cover art yourself as well, a woodcut?
Mm. Yeah.
Is that something you've done a lot of?
Not before I did these ones, but I really like the look of it. I like the look of it, and I like the very kind of off-kilterness to a woodcut print. It's always a little bit wrong, and it's like there is lots of, I remember in school studying De Bruck, the art movement for like the 30s in Germany, if you know it all. Basically between the two wars and lots of like dark, harrowing imagery, lots of it's woodcut based, and it just looks so intense and so beautiful, and I wanted to get that kind of thing for this project, because I think it matches quite well with the themes and the sound of the record. Yeah.
I love it. I love how you've encompassed the whole project.
Well, I wanted to make it a cohesive thing, you know? That's part of the satisfaction for me, is to hold this thing in your hand that you've spent months and hours on and be like, yes, I made this. Yes, this all works together as one thing.
Yeah. How you visualized it, or maybe like a woodcut slightly different from how you visualized it.
Yes, but exactly. Exactly that.
But it is what it is, yeah.
Up in the low sun.
sense and sustain wind. Evening brightness, but inside it's dust. Like a faded picture in the yellow light. Here in the South Pacific, hardly high above the land. Incoming rollers, fear is beholden. Flooding, floating, rising. Circular eyes, tropical, a dense rain, warm water, trying to sever isolation. Love the typhoon, feel its breath, the rotating columns of air, give in, surrender to the height, flooding, floating, rising.
Following Cyclone Part 1 and 2, we have Automatic Juicer. And before, I was talking about imagery, and this is another one where a lot of imagery comes into play too, right off the bat.
Mm.
Yeah. Tell me about the Automatic Juicer and juicing yourself.
Have you ever been in a relationship where you kind of, it's a very one-sided affair? You're like trying to squeeze every last little bit of sort of affection out of something which you know is kind of dead.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's kind of the idea of this song.
It's lyrically really interesting song, but also I just love the synths in this. These kind of synths that come in about one at the sort of 1 minute mark, but then you have this kind of crunchy synth riff or motif that pops up later on in the song as well. It's just so satisfying.
So most of it, there's one synth in it, the melody that you talk about, like a minute in or something like that, but the rest of it's all the Fender Rhodes, which like put through a chorus and then put through some guitar amps. So basically the same setup as Wax Chattels, but it's a Rhodes rather than like an organ foundational sound, but still treated the same way, and it gives it that synthy quality, I guess.
Are you a bit of a gear collector?
Not as much as some. A few things, but I'm nowhere near as bad as others.
I feel like you have a slightly sly look, like maybe, you know, if there was someone else standing in this room, they would object to that comment.
Well, I don't have that much gear,
right.
But I like... In my history as a musician, I think I've had a few things and sold a few things and, you know, borrowed a lot of things. Yeah.
Do you have any favourites? Current favourites?
I love my little 5-watt Fender amp. I love that to bits. It's, it just makes everything sound amazing. It's that's the one for me.
Following up from Automatic Juicer, we have Sanctuary for Seabirds, which is the last song. When I got to the song, I felt like there's a sort of theme in the titling of these tracks where there's a lot of nature coming through. We have cyclones and bush. Mm. Was it intentional at all? Or
yeah. Yeah, I mean, nature and lots of it's to do with the sea and to do with, like, water and the terrifyingness of it. And so for this track in particular, I wanted it to be like you're on a West Coast beach when it's super windy and so you can't really see far because there's the sea spray coming in and it's kind of, it's super overwhelming and you like, time becomes kind of elastic because you don't know how long, if it's been 2 minutes or 20 minutes because it's just this overwhelming experience. Yeah, I wanted it to be like that and capture that kind of feeling.
Sanctuary for seabirds, over familiar individual. You're on your own. Try to disappear. Don't use your flashlight. You feel me need. I knelt beside them, edge of the water, placed my free hand in the V of my disappear.
Don't use your flesh. You feel me need. Your friends adore you. But you feel me.
That was Peter Riddell from Sulfate speaking about his self-titled debut album that was released yesterday. And while that was interview was playing, someone texted in and said they saw Sulfate at the Thirsty Dog. They were full of distractions of the Others Way Festival. Then when Bush was played, a chord was struck, literally, and there were no further distractions. It was a pleasure to behold. Thanks for that message. I can... totally see how that would happen. If you want to check out that record, it is on the Sulfate Bandcamp page. It'll be on Spotify and I'm sure in all the other places. Plus, as mentioned, it will be available on cassette and vinyl via Prison Tapes.
That was Long Player. Thanks, NZ On Air Music.